Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May I wish all of you a blessed, Merry Christmas, a blessed Christ-centered Christmas. How do you plan to celebrate Christmas this year? For many of us, the traditional way of celebrating Christmas, like family gathering, big parties, eating out, somehow has been affected. So how will you celebrate Christmas? I believe if you understand the true meaning of Christmas, your celebration will continue. In fact, it can even become more meaningful. What do I mean? Let's look at the Bible. What is really the true meaning of Christmas? Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want you to notice something. Christmas is God's initiative. He sent the angel to give this amazing announcement. I bring you good news. So it is good news. Not only good news, it brings us great joy. Not only great joy, you notice, for all the people, for the rich, for the poor, those in power, those who are not in power, the outcast, for everybody. What is this good news? In the city of David, this is very important, it's a fulfillment of biblical prophecy that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. There has been born for you a Savior. Notice, a Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? Brothers, sisters, you will not appreciate the good news until you know the bad news. What is the bad news? The bad news is we all need a Savior. The Bible tells us our greatest problem, according to Romans 3:23, all have sinned. And that word sin, if you trace it back to the book of Isaiah, it talks about self-will. Isaiah 53, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We are doing things our own way. It's self-will against God's will. What's the solution? There's no other solution other than we need forgiveness because we have rebelled against God. We have done things against the Holy God. And I have good news for you. Christmas is God's greatest provision, a Savior for our greatest problem. So when you think of Christmas, think of God as the great provider. He provides for us salvation, forgiveness, and above all, a Savior. Now that word, God provides, is first mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And today, I want us to be rooted in the knowledge of who God is by knowing this particular name, that God is our provider. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14 tells us, Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide," Yahweh Yireh. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. What in the world does it mean, "The Lord will provide," Yahweh Yireh? The word Yahweh Yireh comes from the word, remember, Yahweh. We learned this, the eternal existing one, the one who wants relationship. But the word Yireh comes from the word to see in advance. Because God sees in advance, He will provide. God, our provider. You will notice the English translation is also meaningful. Why? The word provider comes from two words. Pro, before, from the root word video, you see in advance. So provider means what? God sees something in advance, which only He can see, and then He provides. That is the amazing thing of the very meaning of Yahweh Yireh. In other words, Because God sees in advance. Therefore, He knows our real needs. And because He knows our real needs, He will provide. Many times, we don't even know what we need. Many times, we don't see what we need. And many times, what we think we need, we don't need. What we think we want is not what we need. And worst of all, what we want may even be harmful. Knowing God is our provider, He sees in advance, He knows our needs, and then He will provide what is only good for us, gives me tremendous comfort. Gives me tremendous peace. What do I mean? Many times, we fail to understand the heart of God. When the Bible says God is our provider, look at the picture in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33, God tells us, do not worry. Notice, do not worry. Are you anxious today? The reality is we are anxious. We are worried. What are we worried about? Most of us worry about just like what they used to worry. Do not worry what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. These are basics. Food, clothing, shelter. And notice what Jesus is telling His disciples. The Gentiles, the unbelievers, eagerly seek all of these things. But, notice the difference. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. The Lord, our provider, is also our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us He knows. Notice, He sees in advance. He knows our needs. And therefore, He reminds us, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. In other words, to know God as our provider does not mean we are lazy, does not mean we are passive, but it simply means you trust God, you put Him first. Seek first His kingdom, His agenda, what He wants you to do, His righteousness. In other words, God is saying, you make sure you put God first in your life. And then He promised, all of these things, notice, all of these things will be added unto you. Wow. The next verse tells us, therefore, do not worry. Friends, are you worried? I pray that today you will learn to fully understand, to be rooted in knowing who God is. Listen, not just know about God, but know Him personally as Yahweh Ira, our provider. Because God sees in advance, God knows what we really need. And the truth is many times we don't see what we need. And because we don't see what we need, we don't appreciate what God will provide for us. Some of us will even reject. We can even complain. Why? Because in our mind, what God has provided for us is not something we want. But the truth is this. God knows what is best. God provides what He sees in advance. And many times, God will do something to protect us. Because God knows what you really need, but you don't know. And what you want may not be what is good for you. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was given a lot of vaccination. Do you know how many times I was given anti-rabies shot? Each cycle is 25 shots. During my time, they don't have this one shot, two shot deal. It's every day for 25 days. You know how many shots I've gotten in my young life? 75. That means I've been bitten by dogs 3 times. And that's why today the dog is afraid of me. I have so many anti-rabies shots. Yahweh Ira. Amazing truth. God sees in advance and God provides. And many times, what He provides is not appreciated. It may not be something you like. And I've learned to appreciate what God has provided. And that's why my heart is rested. I can be thankful and I can cooperate with God. Because what God has provided for is always for my good. And the truth is sometimes He provides something that we don't really like. A test, or somebody, or a situation. How can you grow? It is not always when times are good. How do you grow in character? It is not always surround yourself with the nicest people in the world. God will use people. God will use circumstances. Why? To transform our character. So God's provision is something that you and I need to learn, to trust, and in everything give thanks. And that is the context of what I'm going to talk about. What does it mean that God will provide? God, our provider. This is what is meant. God will provide for what we need His way, His time, for our eventual good to accomplish His purpose in and through us. I want you to notice the following. God will provide for what we need based on what? God's understanding. God sees. He knows our need. He knows what we really need. His way, His time, for our, notice, eventual good. What I want may not be what is good for me, but not God. He knows. And to accomplish His purpose. Now, this is so basic. We are man-centered. We always think that God is a cosmic Santa Claus because we always think of our needs. But God is saying when He provides, it is also to accomplish His divine purpose in our life and through our life. And that to me is one of the greatest comfort that you can experience, that God is faithful in providing for our need, for our good, for His purpose. Let us now see how the Lord will provide in the context of how it is used. Genesis chapter 22. Let's read this together. It came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Notice, God is the one who initiated the test. What in the world is the Bible talking about? Who wants tests? I don't like tests. Remember the meaning of the word Yahweh Ira. God sees in advance. God knows what is needed. And God knew what is needed for Abraham was to be tested. The word used in Genesis 22 comes from the word, root word NASA. It means to reveal what is really the real you. It is like testing the character of somebody. You want to see what that person is made of. It is something important. What do I mean? When we want to construct a building, we want to test the strength of the structure. We want to test the strength of the steel bars. What about flying an airplane? You know, years ago, I took lessons in flying. But can I tell you something? I can never be allowed to fly a commercial jet plane, like a Boeing 747. I can never be allowed to do that until I get tested. Why? I'll be risking my own life. I'll be risking the life of passengers. The same thing with you, the same thing with me. God has to test us. Why? To let us know where we need to grow, what area we need to improve on. Testing is something we don't appreciate, but God gives us. Why? Because it is needed. Let's look at the book of James. The Bible tells us, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, speaking to Christians, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. That is the same word used in Genesis 22 when the Bible was translated into the Greek language. Perasmos, testing. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. You know what this verse tells me? As children of God, as followers of Jesus, our attitude must change. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, various testings. The truth is, you and I don't want to be tested. Example of testing. Relationship. Having problems with your co-workers. Family problems. Or financial problems. Physical problems. Whatever problems. The context of James is about suffering. And he's telling the believers, change your mindset. Testing is not bad. Why? It is to help you grow. Notice, emphatic, that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. God wants to develop our character. Notice the emphasis, endurance, perseverance. Don't give up. Many Christians give up. And God is saying, you need to grow in this area. So God allows testing for us to grow in our character. The word complete, lacking in nothing, means what? Full maturity. You know, when the devil tests you, it is to destroy you. When God allows testing, it is always to build us up. Testing is always for our good. My question to you is this. Are you undergoing any kind of testing today? Whatever it is, I want you to have this mindset. Yahweh Ira, God is our provider. The fact that He's providing this testing, wow, it must be for my good. Once you understand the heart of God, your attitude will change. It says, consider it all joy. Be positive. Don't be negative. What was the test? Well, according to Genesis chapter 2, God tested Abraham in three areas. You see, God not only provides physical needs. Praise God, He provides for us physically. But He also provides our spiritual needs. And let me ask you, which is more important? The truth is this. God is more concerned with our character than our physical comfort. In the case of Abraham, God tested him in three areas. Number one, the area of love. Number two, the area of obedience. And number three, in the area of faith. Love, obedience, faith. This is something that is also true in your life, in my life. God sees our needs. We need to grow in the area of love, obedience, and faith. What do I mean? Let's read verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. I want you to notice the following. For the first time in the Bible, Genesis chapter 22, the word love is mentioned. It is the love of a father to a son. God tells Abraham, take now your son, notice the emphasis, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Why is this so significant? Let me tell you. Isaac is a picture of the hopes and dreams of Abraham. You have to understand, for many years, Abraham waited. He waited for a son. And then, after 25 long years, God gave Abraham a miracle son by the name of Isaac. You can just imagine the love of Abraham for Isaac. Notice it says, go to the land of Moriah. Moriah is a place that is around Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. These are mountain ranges. Offer him there as a burnt offering. Do you know the meaning of burnt offering? Isaac will be killed. Isaac will be burned. What in the world is God trying to do? Before we judge God, you need to know the end of the story. But before I tell you the end of the story, I want you to know something. God is the one who is against child sacrifice. In the book of Deuteronomy, you will read, and Leviticus, God condemns child sacrifice. So how do you reconcile the two? Don't jump to conclusion. Listen to my message. That's why I like you to listen up to the end of the message. Let me tell you the story of a couple who wanted to have children. They tried everything, especially the wife. She went to see different doctors, went through different procedures. After many, many years, it was successful. She was able to conceive. And a baby came. And that baby was a baby girl. But she did not realize what was happening to her. Because of her love for this baby girl, as the baby was growing up, she overprotected her. She overcontrolled her. When that baby became a teenager, can you guess what happens? That teenager felt she was being smothered. In Tagalog, nasasakal. Why? Because the mother is over-controlling, over-protecting. Why? Because that girl has become her idol. She began to pour out her life on this girl. And God is going to protect Abraham from such an incident. You know why? I've discovered something. Anything that you love more than you love God becomes an idol. Anything that becomes more important than God eventually becomes an idol. So do not think of a statue made of stones, wood, when I say idols. God was protecting Abraham from idolatry. Why? It's a real problem. The Bible is very clear about the warning on our love life. You know why? Especially the issue of the heart. Son of man, these men have set up their idols, notice, in their hearts. You can have idols in your heart. And they put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? You see, idols can be in our hearts. And God described them as stumbling block, as iniquity. Notice, therefore, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, the idols of the heart, which people don't see, but God sees, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. God calls idolatry abomination. I've seen many Christians. Something good can eventually become an idol. Isaac was a blessing. Your idol does not have to be bad. It can be your job. It can be your relationship, family members, your children. It can even be your ministry. It can be something good. But when that something good becomes all important, that becomes your idol. And sooner or later, your idol will destroy you. You see, anything that becomes idol will eventually control you. Can I tell you something? This is the truth. There is no person, there is nothing in this world that can take the place of God. The best person in the world will sooner or later disappoint you. God was protecting Abraham from himself. You know why? God sees. God, our provider, Yahweh Yireh, God sees in advance. And he wants to protect us. How do you know you have idols? Let me ask you. What do you love most? Many times people say, I love God most. Well, let me give you some tests. What do you need to have in your mind that will truly make you happy? If you're not happy now, because you are saying, unless God will do this, unless God will change my husband, unless God will change my circumstances, then I'll be happy. My friend, you have idols in your life. What about your emotions? What really makes you angry when you don't have it? What makes you really angry when something is taken away from you? That, my friend, is your idol. So please, examine your heart. Take time to discuss this with God and be honest with Him. Why? God made us, God designed us, that's why He gave us the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And God saw the future. God knows in order to protect Abraham, he needed to examine his own heart. Do you have Isaacs in your life? Well, if you have, be careful. Something good, your Isaac, can become your idol. The Bible tells us, Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for the burnt offering and set out, went to the place which God had told him. Do you notice? The obedience of Abraham was tested. What kind of obedience? He got up early in the morning. You see, what is true obedience? True obedience is what? When you hear God tells you something, you do it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Postponed obedience is disobedience. It is so important that you and I grow in the area of obedience. I need to grow. You need to grow. I remember years ago, God impressed upon my heart to see somebody, to call that person. I struggled. I kept postponing it. And God reminded me. God told me in John 14, God tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God says, Peter, do you love me? Then do what I ask you to do. Now, let me tell you why it was hard for me to do what God wants me to do. Why do I keep postponing it? Because I know this couple does not like us. I know that this couple was disappointed with us. And I know for a fact, for me to go there is a challenge. But can I tell you something? By the grace of God, I obeyed. I went to see this couple. I asked for forgiveness. And I thought, hallelujah, everything's resolved. But you know, months later, I discovered that there was still this bitterness, this anger. And then the Lord talked to me again. Reach out to them again. Reach out. I have to be honest with you. There are certain things that I find hard to obey. But that's why you and I need to grow. Remember our memory verse. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The truth is, you and I need to grow in our obedience. Why? Because we love the Lord. There may be some of you today that you need to ask for forgiveness. There may be some of you today that you need to do what God wants you to do, to forgive, to call somebody. You will discover something. Obedience brings blessing. Recently, I was invited to attend a D group meeting of leaders in the South. And I was so privileged to hear their stories. But at the end of that D group meeting, one of them asked me a question. He narrated the story. He said, God impressed upon my mind not to increase the price that I'm selling. You see, he was in the business of distribution of basic commodities. And there was a typhoon. And the Lord impressed upon him that morning, do not increase the price of your commodity. And he said, reluctantly, he obeyed the Lord. And he said he had great joy because his customer was so surprised. He did not take advantage of them. But then, after a while, the government did something. The government imported the same commodity, but the prices are so much lower. So now he could not sell his product. Then that is the question. He said, Peter, Pastor, how come I'm obeying God, but I'm now losing money. Is that really what happens when you obey God and then you end up losing money? How do you answer that? Can I tell you something? I prayed. And then the Lord reminded me, tell him, and this is what I told that group. God promised, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And I said, I want you to know something. You will never regret what you did. But how you'll recover your losses, I don't know how. But one thing I know, you will never regret. But I do not know when, I do not know how. Just keep doing what is right. That's the end. I was shocked. 2 weeks later, I got the information. Because of the recent typhoon, Ulysses, what happened to the government commodities? They got wet. They were destroyed. And all the prices went up. You see, God's amazing way of doing things is beyond us. And he said he was able to recover his losses. He's able to make money. And he did not take advantage of the people. Obedience will be tested. Are you willing to obey God, even when you don't feel like doing it? And lastly, the test of faith. What do we mean? On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with that donkey. I and the boy will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Wow! I want you to notice something. Abraham is now declaring a statement of faith. He's saying, I and the boy will go over there and we will worship and return to you. I want you to know what Abraham was supposed to do. He was supposed to go to the mountain, offer his son as a burnt offering, and yet he can honestly say, we will go there and worship because burnt offering is for worship, and we will come back. Notice the pronoun, we will come back. I realize there are times when you cannot reconcile circumstances and God's promises. What is faith? Faith is you learn to wait on the Lord. You keep doing what God wants you to do. But you do not know how God will resolve the tension. So how did Abraham do it? Many of you will say, you know, Peter, I can never do it. I don't have that faith. Well, I have good news for you. I don't have that faith either. But you need to learn something about faith. Faith is progressive. Faith is like muscle. It grows. But can I tell you something? God develops our faith. God did not ask Abraham to do what he asked him to do immediately. No. God asked Abraham progressively, step by step. What do I mean? First step, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed God, going to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. But notice, he left not knowing where he was going. That's the first step of faith. Just leave your family members, go to a place. So Abraham walked with God day by day, not knowing where is that place going to be. But what do you notice about progressive faith? It's developed. Abraham had a problem with his nephew Lot. Why? They were squabbling over the promised land. What did Abraham do? Abraham said to his nephew, if you want to go to the right, you can have the land on the right and I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I go to the right. What was Abraham learning? God was teaching Abraham, put your faith in me, not in the real estate. Abraham discovered blessing does not come from the real estate, does not come from the land. Blessing comes from him. Wow, progressive. And then Abraham saw what happened to the land that Lot chose. Lot chose the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham saw with his own eyes how that piece of property was completely destroyed. You see, the faith of Abraham was growing. Abraham was beginning to see what is best is to walk with God. Abraham, when he was tested again, God was training Abraham. God told Abraham, you will have a son. By this time, Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham said to God, how can I have a son? I'm 100 years old. How can my wife have a son? She's 90 years old. And God said, nothing is impossible with God. Believe me. And that is Isaac. Isaac was born when it was impossible for Sarah to have a son. But now, another probably 20 years later, Abraham, by this time, must have been walking with God for 40 years. And that's why his faith has grown. Now you understand why Abraham was able to do what God asked him to do. Why? Let me share with you the verse. Hebrews 11. By faith, notice, the faith of Abraham by this time, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and the one who had received the promises was offering up his only son. Let me explain. The Bible says God gave Abraham the promise. The one who received the promise is now offering up his son. It was he to whom it was said, through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. God told Abraham, your descendants will come from Isaac. That is the promise. So if you were Abraham, you put two and two together. If God promised me a son called Isaac, and then God promised me my descendants will come from Isaac, what's the logical conclusion? Isaac must live. Isaac cannot die because God gave me a promise. Exactly. That's what Abraham was thinking. Except he does not know how God will accomplish the burnt offering and the fulfillment of the promise. But look at what was in his mind. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. I want you to remember the word type. The word type is from the word typology. It's like a metaphor. It's an illustration. It's a picture of the future. I'll explain that later. It's very important. So keep on listening. God is able to raise people even from the dead. That is how Abraham put obedience and faith together. That somehow, even if Isaac should die and be burned, God will raise him back from the dead. That's what he said. God is able to raise people even from the dead. So my advice, your faith can only grow as much as you grow in the knowledge of who God is. If your God is small, if your God is weak, it's hard for your faith to grow. If you are ignorant of God's promises, how will you have faith? You see what I'm saying? Abraham knew God. He knew his power. Nothing is impossible. Abraham knew also that God keeps his word. When he promises you something, he will do it. And because of these two, God keeps his word. Nothing is impossible with God. Abraham was able to offer up Isaac. And that, my friend, is the secret of faith and obedience. Knowing the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. What is the object of your faith? Is it in circumstances or in God? What is the object of your faith? Is it your feeling? Or is it the Word of God, the promises of God? Many, many Christians, because they are not discipled properly, they're always confused. Can I tell you why? Because they place their faith on their feelings. And sometimes your own feelings will betray you. If I were Abraham, I'd be thinking, this is impossible. How can God do it? But Abraham's faith was focused on God, his promises, God's character. Now, what does it mean? From which he also received him back as a type. I'm going to explain this soon because it's a picture of Jesus. But I will explain that later. So the Bible tells us, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. I want you to imagine how heavy the wood is. To complete a burnt offering, you need lots of wood. And you put it on the back of Isaac. So Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac, by this time, was a young man. And the Bible tells us, I love this phrase, Abraham had the fire and the knife, and they walked together. Isaac spoke to his father and said, Father, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb? A very good question. Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Do you notice? Abraham had no idea what God is going to do. He can simply said, God will provide the lamb. By faith, he trusted God. God will provide. You know, there are times when people come to me for counseling and they say, Pastor, they say, Peter, what's happening to my marriage? When I began walking with God, my marriage began to collapse. When I began walking with God, my business began to have problems. And many times, I really don't know what God's going to do. But you know what I do? I say, keep trusting God, because God will provide. But God's provision, remember, His way, His time. And you know what happened? Let's read. They came to the place, Mount Moriah, of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Let me ask you a question. Why did Isaac not run? He could probably run faster than his father. Why did Isaac not fight? He was probably stronger than his father by now. Remember, Abraham was already 100 years old when Isaac was born. Let me tell you something. Abraham must have discipled Isaac so well that Isaac knew that God gave a promise, that he's the son of promise. Isaac learned that God promised that through his offspring, the whole world will be blessed. The nations will come out from the offspring of Isaac. Isaac knew he is the promise of God. And Isaac must have believed in his father, Abraham. That's why I submit to you. Isaac believed in the father, in his father, Abraham. Isaac believed in the faithfulness of God. And that's why, if you ask me, he did not resist. Remember, Isaac is a type. It's a beautiful picture, eventually, of Jesus, which I'll explain in a short while. The Bible tells us, Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter the son. And as his hand was up, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Do not reach out your hand against the boy and do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God is telling Abraham, at the right time. Notice, when God intervenes, it's never too early. It's never too late. And God said, Abraham, don't you touch your son. What was God trying to do? God wanted Abraham to learn to always put God first. God knew that Abraham would succeed, but Abraham did not know that he was willing to surrender his Isaac to God. You see, that was a protection for Abraham. Abraham must have been thinking while he was walking with his son, will I do it? Will I not do it? And praise God, Abraham surrendered his Isaac. And the Bible tells us at the right time, notice what the Bible says, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. You may be asking, what is a ram? A ram is a male sheep. And the Bible tells us, Abraham saw the ram. Now let me ask you, Was the ram there before? Or was the ram there after? Here is the amazing principle of faith. When you walk with God and you obey Him, God's divine intervention surpasses our understanding. You know why? Look, the Bible tells us a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Ah, perfect timing. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in the place of his son, the principle of substitution. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Yahweh, Ira. As it is said to this day, on the mountain, Mount Moriah, "The Lord, it will be provided." Can I tell you something? This is an amazing biblical truth. That God's provision is always for our good. There are certain things in life you will never know. And you will never realize until you go all the way, you obey by faith. Abraham had no idea what God can do. You and I have no idea what God can do in your life, through your life, unless you walk by faith, unless you surrender your Isaac. We all have idols. We all have Isaacs in our lives. Have you surrendered your Isaac? You see, the Isaac of Abraham will involve his heart, surrendering, putting God first. It will involve obedience, doing what God wants him to do. It will involve faith. Many of you know what happened to my family. Years ago, perhaps around 20 years ago, I was coming home from my Bible study in Makati. It was 12 o'clock midnight. And I saw the police cars all over the driveway in my house. And I told my wife, "Something bad has happened." When I saw the police cars, when I saw the lights blinking, my heart dropped. In my mind, perhaps my children have died. And I remember distinctly God asking me, "Have you surrendered your family to me?" And quietly in my heart, I said, "Yes, Lord, I've surrendered them to you." Then God spoke to me quietly, "Will you give me permission? Should I take one of them?" And I began to cry. And I said, "Lord, you own my family. Lord, I know you love my family more than I can ever love them. So, Lord, I surrender them to you." And can I tell you something? For me, it was very real. Because by that time, I still don't know if my kids were hurt or not. But there was a sense of victory when I surrendered my Isaacs. You know, I love my family. I will not trade them for anybody, anything. But that day, that night, I surrendered all of them to the Lord because I know that God loves my children more than I can ever love them. And God knows what is best for my children. And God will take care of my children. So when I went to the house, a missionary hugged me and he told me, "Your children are in a safe house. They're all okay, except your daughter." I said, "What happened?" "Your daughter was raped." Of course, I felt very bad. But that day, my wife and I surrendered our Isaac. What about you? Do you have Isaacs in your life? Why don't you ask God to examine your heart? Because God's provision is always for our good. And Abraham experienced amazing provision. When he offered up his son completely. And now this is the most amazing thing. The blessing that came upon Abraham after he signified his complete obedience, if you read the next verse, God says, I will surely, greatly multiply you. I will surely, greatly bless you. You notice something? In the past, God simply said, I'm going to bless you. And now he added, I will surely, greatly bless you. Do you know the blessing of Abraham? Remember I told you? The incident in Mount Moriah was used by God to give a prophetic truth that one day God is going to do exactly the same thing. The thing that happened to Abraham is not just for Abraham. His obedience, his faith, his blessing is not just for him or for his children or for the Jewish people. Remember, I explained to you the meaning of Yahweh Yira. God will provide based on his purpose, based on what is good. His purpose was to use Abraham to be a blessing. And this, I believe, is beyond Abraham's understanding. Let me tell you why. Because years later, on that same mountain, Mount Moriah, the Bible tells us, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. You see, Mount Moriah is a mountain range. And Jerusalem is part of Mount Moriah. The house of the Lord means the temple of God. That is the place where animal sacrifices are offered for the forgiveness of sin. When Abraham offered Isaac in Mount Moriah, it's a picture, it's a type of what's going to happen. Because 2,000 years later, on the same place, Mount Moriah, somewhere around that vicinity, God offered up his only son. Look at the similarity. Abraham loved Isaac, his only son. God so loved the world and gave his only son. What's the difference? In the case of Abraham, there was a substitute for Isaac. In the case of Jesus, there was no substitute. He was the substitute. And God wants you to know the heart of a father. God loved Jesus. And God loves you. He loves you and me so much that he gave his son. Jesus was like Isaac. Jesus willingly offered up his life as an offering. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Friends, Christmas is the story of Yahweh Yira, God's provision for the forgiveness of our sin. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I want you to think of what happened in Mount Moriah in the time of Abraham and in the time of Jesus. The principle of the Lord will provide substitution. God gave us Jesus to take your place, to take my place. Why? We are sinners. We deserve to be judged. We deserve to be punished. And God gave us his son, Jesus, to die in your place. The only difference is this. There was no substitute for Jesus. Because Jesus is the sacrifice. Remember what the angel said. I give you good news of great joy. A Savior has been given. A Savior has been born. That is Jesus. I like you to accept the provision of God. You can either ignore his provision, you can be angry, you can be indifferent, or you can say, Lord, I will accept your provision. And I pray that you will accept what God offered us, Jesus Christ, the payment for our sins. And to those of you who have invited Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to take this opportunity and share the good news of Christmas. Go viral. We have materials prepared for you on how to use the story of Christmas to go viral, to tell them of this amazing provision of God, that God gave us Jesus to be our substitute when He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. You can now understand clearly when the Bible uses that word picture. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son. The Bible tells us, if God did not spare His own Son, Jesus, but delivered Him over for us all, the principle of substitution, Jesus Christ took our place. He was the substitute for you and for me. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Knowing Yahweh, Ira, gives me tremendous peace. I don't have to worry because God promised to provide. It gives me tremendous joy. You know why? Whatever happens to me, I may not like it, but I can be thankful because God knows what I need. But I know ultimately it's for my good because God sees the future. He sees that whatever He has allowed me to experience is always for my good because God provides what is best and what is good, not just for me, for eternity. And that's what Abraham did not know. That up to today, what Abraham did is going to be a blessing to the millions of people to this day. My friend, you will never know what God can do when you surrender your Isaac to Him. And you will never know what you will miss if you don't surrender your Isaac. Is God speaking to you today? Perhaps there are some of you, you're holding on to something, and that is what's preventing you from accepting the provision of God. It's something you love so much. Perhaps it is a sinful relationship. Perhaps it is a religion that you're clinging to. Perhaps it is something that you know you need to give up before you can accept the gift of God, before you can receive Jesus Christ. Well, whatever it is, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, to surrender your Isaac, to pray to accept God's offer of forgiveness, to accept the greatest gift given to us during this Christmas. Because 2,000 years ago, on the first Christmas, God told us, a Savior is given, a Savior is born. Have you accepted God's provision? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that if there be anybody here who is clinging on to their Isaac, they are clinging on to something, and that's why they cannot receive your blessing because they are full of Isaacs. Help them to trust you. Help them to surrender the Isaacs of their lives. And Lord, perhaps there are people today who are saying, I want to receive God's offer. I want to receive the provision of God for the forgiveness of my sin. You want to receive Jesus Christ? Please pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, today I come before you in humility, in total dependence upon you. Thank you for your provision. Lord Jesus, I accept you into my life, into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I accept your gift of forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. Change my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have been blessed by this message, or you want to chat with us, kindly click on the space provided for below. We have a lot of friends who would love to chat with you, help you more. And in a short while, we will have discussion questions. Here are the following discussion questions that I'd like you to discuss with your family and loved ones. Number one, do you have Isaacs in your life? What do you really love most in your life? Number two, in what areas is God testing you right now? How should you respond? And lastly, how can you share God's gift of salvation? How can you share Jesus to others? Have a wonderful time discussing the questions. God bless you.
Good day, CCF fam.
I'm Jesse Perkins.
And I'm Christian Perkins, and welcome to another CCF Sunday Fast Track.
We are here today with Pastor Peter, and hello, Pastor Peter. What a wonderful message. We have a few questions we'd like to ask you.
Sure.
All right, so our first question. You mentioned earlier that God is our provider, but when we ask God for provisions, how do we make the difference between what is a want and what is a need when we ask God for these provisions?
Let me give you an example. If you need transportation, for many people, they want a nice car. They want a Mercedes Benz. That, my friend, is a want. But you say, Lord, I need to work. I need transportation. Therefore, you trust God. Maturity will not help you appreciate what God gives you. There's nothing wrong with wanting a nice car. But the promise of God is I will provide for needs. So once you understand that, God gives bonuses many times. He gives beyond our expectation. But just realize, He promised to take care of your food, clothing, shelter.
Thank you for that great insight. And our next question is this. At times when we can lose hope, especially during this pandemic, when there's so many problems and people have lost their jobs, how do we convince others that God is our Yahweh Jireh and that He'll provide?
Especially if you're at the receiving end, you have lost your job and there are financial needs. But one thing I've seen, as David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. From my own experience, God is faithful. I've not seen His people forsaken. Yes, you may go through times of panic. Where will I get the next meal? But I have so many stories to show you at the right time, God will provide. That's where faith comes in. If you can see everything, you don't need faith. Faith is what? Seeing the unseen. Receiving what you don't see now, based on God's faithfulness. So faith will be stretched.
Okay, Pastor Peter, this is an interesting question. How do we know if we have an Isaac in our life?
You know, the reality is, many times, it's hard to tell. However, here are some things I can share with you, how you can tell. When your Isaac is affecting your walk with the Lord, when your Isaac is dragging you down. Example, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, nothing wrong. However, when that boyfriend or girlfriend is affecting your walk with the Lord, or you are trying to hide from your parents, your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's a signal that that is an Isaac. Because you are making that person more important than pleasing God. So the final test is really, is God happy with my Isaac now, with what I'm doing now with my Isaac? And God speaks to your heart. Anything that you feel you got to have in order to be happy, that's an ISAP. Anything that makes you angry when taken away from you, that's your ISAP.
Wow, very nice. We're very encouraged by that answer, Pastor Peter. And actually, we have one more question for you. And of course, we know that during these times, this year especially, Christmas is going to be very different, very unique for all of us. So with that being said, what are some tips that you can give us and everyone that we can have to share and point people to Jesus and also share God's love and provisions to others who don't know Jesus, but doing all of these things despite our situation with the lockdown, our physical limitations, and also our own personal struggles?
I believe during this lockdown, it is an opportunity to celebrate Christmas properly. Why? Because we don't have so many unnecessary activities. The family can invite a few friends to just focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And I believe all of us, all followers of Jesus, can take this opportunity to really prepare themselves to share the true meaning of Christmas and to make it so meaningful. I have friends who told me just recently, when I explained to them the meaning of Christmas, they say this Christmas will be different. They will celebrate it differently. So God many times will use lockdown to slow us down so that we will appreciate the true meaning of Christmas.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. So those are our questions for this Sunday's Fast Track. And we just wanted to let all of you know that this message and all of our other messages are available every hour, all throughout the week, online.
Yes, and you can watch the services on demand via the CCF website, CCF mobile app, Facebook page, and YouTube channel.
Yes, and you can share this message with all of your family and your friends all throughout the world.
Yes, and also lastly, we would just like to invite you to check out Kaibigan the Series if you have time.
It's the first ever Christian TV series airing on GMA every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and it talks about all about the ways to cope with the different struggles that we have during this pandemic, all through biblical resolutions. So check it out. My brother and I are in it. So check it out, guys.
Thank you all. Merry Christmas and God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleship group. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks and God bless.